In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the role of the priest in the divine will. And one of the things that's so wonderful and beautiful about this is, as each day goes by, we really begin to see why God directed Luisa in this way, helping the priests. Each day as we continue, we really begin to see a new and divine way of holiness is needed. And that's why I'm pretty sure John Paul II really prophesied that we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. And so when we look at volume 25, 10/7/1928, and that was the day when Luisa was moved from the association, Luisa Picaretta, where when you go to Carrara, you'll see that there upstairs, when she was upstairs, and they brought her across town to the St. Anthony Orphanage that Father Nibale built for Luisa, built an orphanage. But he said, I want Luisa to be there, because he asked Luisa, would you come to Messina? And Luisa says, Jesus doesn't want me to leave Corrado. So when you go to Corrado, it's an amazing place. It's a beautiful place. It's where God really brought about to the world sanctification through this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. So 10/7/20, and they asked Luisa, how long are you going to stay here? She says, 10 years. And October 7th, 1938, she left Corrado. I mean, she left the association and moved near the association, but across the street. It's the next street over. Still facing her, the window was still facing the north. So for these 10 years, these are the last 10 years where she was writing. Jesus showed her about the Son of the divine will. The Son in the heaven is a shadow of the divine will on earth. He says to Luisa, you know, you're going to basically, I'm going to breathe into you this gift. And St. Padre Pio said that Luisa is a second sun. And this is what's coming. With the sun setting in the west, a new sun comes up in the east at the same time. There is no more darkness. This is what we're going to experience. This is why this new and divine way of holiness is coming upon the earth. It's all because of what Jesus gave to Luisa. So here's Luisa talking. So at this house, the St. Anthony Orphanage, which was about to be opened, one could see nuns and little girls, people coming and going in all motion. And I felt all impressed. So here she is. She's knew that something great was happening. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, this group of people whom you see in all in motion for an opening of the house of my divine will is symbolic of that group of people when I wanted to be born in Bethlehem, and the shepherds were coming and going to visit me, a little baby. So here, not many people showed up, you know, in Bethlehem to see Jesus. It was the shepherds. No priest showed up. It was the wise men. Jesus says, this is a symbolic of Bethlehem. So this being born, okay, Jesus says, you must be born again. This being born is what we see, what Jesus is explaining to Luisa about this being, be born again. You must be born again. And Jesus goes into detail of what this being born again is all about. We have the Protestant version of it, but the Catholic version is really unique. It's very spectacular. Because to be born again isn't once, it's continuous rebirth. Every day is brand new. Every second is brand new, as if it never existed before. It's just this magnificence of God, this glory of God He's breathing into Louisa. And you experience this little by little. It's a sliver of it. Each day, as you read the Book of Heaven, you become more and more enamored with the word that Jesus is speaking to Louisa, the word that Louisa is writing down on paper. And it's really a magnificent thing. So this pointed out to all the certainty of my birth, Jesus says. In the same way, this group of people, all in motion, points out the rebirth of the kingdom of my divine will. So Jesus goes through these 36 volumes. And when you hear 36 volumes, you think of volumes like this. Well, in fact, when we were at the Vatican, they're about this big. These are the thin little books that she wrote, little notebooks. They're about this big. So when you put them all together, you have something a little bigger than the Bible. Now, if you shrink the words down, we usually use font 12, but when you shrink the words down, you'll probably be able to fit it in a little book. As a matter of fact, the very first book I got with all 36 volumes was all in Italian. It was one book. It was beautiful. And this is good things are happening. And the writings that we have, the translations that we have, when we were with the Vicar General with Father Bucci at EWTN, the Vicar General says the writings that we have done by the certain person, he says, are the best at this time. And if you want to get the best at this time, it's what we have. And these writings are, see, the translation, okay, in Italy, they say the translator is the traitor. Okay. Why do they say that? Because if you know the Italian dialect, the Roman dialect, that's one way of understanding. The Puglian area where Louisa lived is another way of understanding. And this is something that we have a beautiful soul who basically did all the translations. I remember before we had certain people doing either the translations, and this is clear. It's one person's thought who knows the language, the Puglian dialect. She said when she hears it, when she reads the Italian that Louisa wrote, she hears her grandmother speaking. She says she knows she knows what this means. And this is what's really beautiful about the Puglian dialect. You need somebody to translate. So, for example, you can use certain words that sound good, but may not be the exact translation if you're not from Puglia. And therefore, what we have is wonderful translations. This is from the mouth of the Vicar General in Corrado. So it was really good to hear him say that, and it was really wonderful. So here what we should see is, he says, look at how all of heaven echoes my birth. So this rebirth, as he says, this rebirth of the kingdom of my divine will is happening as Louisa moves, as Louisa lives now in a new area. And what's great about this is what he's saying here. All of heaven is echoing my birth. So in the divine will, what is the divine will? What did Jesus teach Louisa? To live in the divine will is to begin to understand from a divine perspective what Jesus wants us to know, okay? So this rebirth of Jesus, as he says, this rebirth of the kingdom, the certainty of my birth is what we go through in the divine will. Everything that we do in the divine will, Jesus teaches Louisa, now teaches us through Louisa, is to redo the life of Jesus. You know, that's why with your prevening act, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. I don't want to breathe anymore. I want you, Lord, to breathe in my breathing, to be in God's image and likeness, beat in my heart beating. I want you, Lord, to beat in my heart beating. I want you, Lord, to gaze in my gazing. I want you, Lord, to dance in my dancing, swim in my swimming. I want you, Lord, to reign in me completely. So he says, look how all of heaven echoes my birth. Okay. Heaven is doing that, but Jesus wants that on earth too. When the angels celebrated it, announced me to the shepherds and putting them in motion and made them keep coming to me. And I recognized in them the first fruits of the kingdom of my redemption. So this kingdom of the redemption is what we've been living in for the last 2,000 years. Jesus, in today's readings, if you're reading the calendar, Jesus says today that it's a time of rest. As when he came to earth, this time of rest for him was the last 2,000 years, where he could see the fruit of the kingdom of redemption be manifested through the lives of the saints, through the teachings of the church. And now Jesus says, now is my time to work again. And he says, the work of creation is not done. And he says that this is what he's doing. He says, so now in this group of people, the little girls, the nuns, I recognize the beginning of the kingdom of my divine will. And how my heart exults and rejoices and all of heaven makes feast. So when Jesus sees us recognizing his birth, okay, he recognizes the beginning of the kingdom of the divine will, and his heart, his sacred heart, exalts and rejoices. Why? The Lord is here. The Lord is here. And this is why Jesus tells Louisa, the divine will is celebration of Christmas every day. We go through the whole life of Jesus every day, from birth to the silent years, to his proclamation, to his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, to the seeing the fruit of Jesus's as he spoke, as he manifested his gospels come to fruition over the last 2,000 years. And now Jesus says, now is the time for the kingdom to be established. And this is what he's doing, the kingdom of sanctification, the kingdom of the third fiat. So he says, just as the angels celebrated my birth, so do they celebrate the beginning of the rebirth of my fiat in the midst of creatures. So as the angels are rejoicing at the birth of Jesus, now they're seeing Louisa going to this house, the first house of the divine will. This is what St. Honorable de Francia called it. They celebrate now the beginning of the rebirth of my fiat in the midst of creatures. So a new beginning has happened. And for each and every one of us who begin to read the book of heaven, there's this joy, there's this festivity, there's this celebration that we go through as we read. And we go, why am I so happy? Well, you are at that instant, as Jesus says, what happened then is still happening today. The angels are celebrating. They celebrate the life of Jesus. We, when we pray the Holy Rosary, we celebrate the life of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. We begin to see Jesus in a way that Our Lady is teaching us how to fall in love with Jesus, how to spend time with our Lord and then our Eucharistic Lord. He says, but look how my birth was more neglected, more poor. I had not even one priest near me, but only poor shepherds. So here Jesus is showing us that when he came, he was really ignored. And he says, yeah. He says, on the other hand, at the beginning of my volition, there is not only a group of nuns and little girls from out of the town, but people rushing up to celebrate the opening. Even though they don't know why they are celebrating this orphanage in Corrado, you know, built by St. Honorable de Francia. They're there celebrating, and Jesus says they're celebrating this because it's the beginning, as he says, of my volition on earth as it is in heaven with the newborn, Louisa Picaretta. She's the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will. She not only learned how to do the will of God, but live in the will of God. This is why when we read volume 11 through volume 36, it's to learn how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit and to learn how to live this abundant life of the divine inheritance being given to us. And again, nobody lives it fully. We get little teeny glimpses of it. when that day occurs, Jesus says, when that great day happens, all of the earth is going to celebrate. All the earth is going to begin, he says, will begin to understand what it means to live in the divine will. So it's the great good things are coming. We haven't seen anything yet. Creation, as he said to Louisa today in the writings, is just, it's not over yet. Redemption is not over yet. He wants to see the fruit of creation, the fruit of redemption to capacity to overflowing, where everyone will be Catholic. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The dream of Jesus is going to, always going to happen. So he says, he says, and the people were rushing up to celebrate the opening, but there is an archbishop and there are priests representing my church. This is symbol of the announcement to all. So through the Holy Church, Jesus says, this gift is going to be given to all mankind. Everyone will say, I want to be a baptized Catholic, because they're going to learn to begin to be in God's image is through being baptized Catholic. That's what Jesus is going to teach. Everyone will be of one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's what's coming. Everyone will say, to live this abundant life, this is what they're going to know. This illumination of conscience, they're going to know. To live this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, basically we're going to have to begin to be in God's image through holy baptism. And then through that, the likeness, how and why this is going to happen. And that's what Jesus is teaching Louisa. So what's really amazing is this. He says, but there's an archbishop and there are priests who represent my church. This is symbol and announcement to all that the kingdom of my divine volition shall be formed with more magnificence, with greater pomp, greater splendor than the very kingdom of my redemption. So we see that because of the kingdom of the redemption of Jesus, when he says, you have basically out of 7 billion people, 1 billion that are Catholic. And out of the 1 billion that are Catholic, 70% don't believe in the Eucharist as the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. Okay. Jesus is going to change that. Jesus is going to do this. And this is why he says, this is symbol of the announcement to all of humanity that the kingdom of my divine will shall be formed with more magnificence, with greater pomp and splendor than the very kingdom of my redemption. So he says, and everyone, kings and princes, bishops and priests and people shall know the kingdom of my fiat and shall possess it. See, what's coming upon the earth is this is the greatest thing. This is what all the saints wanted, prayed for, but it didn't happen. And the reason is God needed to explain to humanity how and why the kingdom is coming. So what we've been doing for the last 2,000 years is getting ready. Jesus said this was his period of rest where he saw the fruit growing, manifestation of the fruit of the kingdom of redemption. Now, what Jesus tells Louisa is when you see the flowers on the tree, you know that the fruit's going to be here because this is where the fruit's going to grow. He says, those are the saints. The fruit, he says, which is coming, this manifestation of this fruit are the children of the divine will. Now, why does he want the fruit? Because the fruit is filled with seeds that there'll be more trees, more fruit. See, when God said, be fruitful and multiply, it was not just children. It's every thought, every word, every deed. Our God wants us to be Catholic. This universal life is what God breathed into Adam. Adam lost the universal life. So when Jesus comes to earth, when Mary comes to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve, what do they bring? They bring us the Catholic life again. And this Catholic life, this universal life is given to a few at this point, but it's to get the world ready for everyone to live in the divine will, everyone to possess this gift. So this is what Jesus is saying. He says, therefore, he says, they shall know the kingdom by fiat and they shall possess it. Therefore, you too celebrate this day in which my sighs and my sacrifices and yours to make my divine will known, see the first dawn and the hope. Christian hope is certitude, the hope for the son of my divine will to soon rise. So this new day is coming. Now, Jesus said this in 1928. What we have with John Paul II at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, that was in 2004, he said, we're going to now enter a new and divine way of holiness. We haven't seen anything yet. When you read the Book of Heaven, you're going to be so filled with what the truths that Jesus is giving you, the manifestations that Jesus has given you, the knowledges that Jesus has given you, the promises that Jesus has given you, the lessons that Jesus has given you, that each day you want to pick it up and read more. Like today, today's readings were magnificent. Each day is magnificent. It's the Lord revealing to us this new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II said. And so what he says to us through Luisa is this: you too celebrate this day. Okay, so when we look at the life of Luisa, the every day that Luisa goes through, and this is why I think God has given us the calendar, every day that we go through, it's to celebrate with, he says, in which my sighs and sacrifices and yours, Luisa, to make my divine will known. So every day that you're reading, thank God, praise God, love God, glorify God, worship God. So when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you're in front of the monstrance, you're not just reading a book, you're falling in love with God. You're looking at Jesus and the monstrance, knowing who he is. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our everything. And he's asking us, do you want to enter into this life that I breathe into Luisa, which is more, he says, than what I breathed into Adam. When God breathed the Ruah of God, the breath of God into Adam, into this dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And Jesus now says, this is what I want to breathe into all of humanity. And he says, who would not want this? Who would not want to be in God's image and likeness? So when we pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, it's a new beginning for all of humanity. It's a new beginning for us. And our God is asking us, are you ready? Are you ready to begin to live this abundant life? So Jesus says in volume 25, 10, 10, 19, 28, 40 years, or Luisa says, 40 years and more of exile, virtue and strength of a prolonged sacrifice, gathering of the materials in order, and then order them. Happiness of Jesus in blessing his little prisoner daughter, kissing the divine will, the decision from priests to prepare the writings for printing, surprising graces that Jesus shall give to priests. This is the what happened if you in the books of Luisa, she never wrote. She just wrote. My life is carried out before my sacramental my Jesus in the sacrament. She would write this, and Father Inibile would say to Luisa, "Luisa, put a title on this." And she goes, "What's the title?" You know. So he would help her. This is one of the reasons you'll see the writings of St. Honorable de Francia in the original books of Luisa. He would say, okay, what you said here in the third paragraph is what the title of the book should be. And he'd write that there. And then Luisa would write it in on top. You'd see her handprinting on top. So it wasn't corrections. It was basically he was teaching her how to put a title. And then as time went on, after he died, after St. Honorable de France died, there was no more writings in her book. Why? He helped her learn how to put down on paper what Jesus said, because he was also the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. Melanie helped him start the Daughters of Divine Zeal in Messina. And so God was teaching St. Honorable de Francia how to hear the message from heaven through Melanie and then through Luisa. So he was accustomed to this. And this is one of the reasons why the Archbishop asked him to be the confessor of Luisa, because he knew about this higher spirituality that Luisa had. Everybody knew this that was around her. That's why they called her Luisa la Santa, Luisa the Saint, when she was alive. And Father Bucci says, and which is really fun, he says, she is going to be known as Luisa the Saint of the Divine Will, the Saint of the Divine Will. And that's what's so great about this. So that's like the title of this paragraph, of this lesson that Jesus gives to Luisa. So she says, my life is carried out before my Jesus of the sacrament. And oh, how many thoughts crowd my mind. I was thinking to myself, after 40 years and months, that I had not seen the tabernacle, that I had not been given to be before his adorable sacramental presence. 40 years, not only of prison, but of exile. Finally, after so long an exile, I have come back as though to my fatherland, though a prisoner, she says, but no longer exiled. And I'm near my Jesus in the sacrament. And not only once a day, as I used to do before Jesus made me a prisoner, but always, always. So when you go to Corrado, when you, her tomb is up in front of the church, you know, next to the high altar. There's a little square there, and yeah, that's where Luisa knelt and prayed. And Father Bucci showed us this spot. And when you go there, kneel where Luisa knelt as a little girl. She would spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament as a little girl. And that's the thing that is so amazing. Who is this Luisa Picaretta as a little child? She'd be praying to Jesus. As a matter of fact, when she went to Torre Desperado, that's where her father worked, you know, as basically a farmer on these fields. It's just, when you go there, it's all rock, like a lot like Fatima, a lot like Jerusalem, a lot like many places where Our Lady's appeared. It's a lot of rock and hardly any dirt. And there was a little boy that was always playing with Luisa. They'd be running around playing, and her sister would say, who is that? Is that your boyfriend? Who is that boy? Who is that boy? Come to find out, it was Jesus. Jesus, as a child, played with Luisa. He would appear to her, and everybody would see it, and the little boy would disappear. Now, you got to remember, Torre Desperado, there is nothing. When you stand on the hill, and you look as far as you can see, there's nothing. There's a house, maybe a house here and a house way over here. There's nobody out there. It's barren land. Basically, it's all a wheat fields. That's what here. So she would spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament as this little girl. And now she says, now I'm a prisoner. She says, I'm in bed as a prisoner. And I'm with Jesus, he's in the prison in the tabernacle. So this, he says, my poor heart, if I had it all in my chest, feeling consumed, that so much love of Jesus. But while I was thinking of this and other things, my highest good, Jesus, moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, do you think that my keeping you prisoner for 40 years and more has been by chance? So here, this is what Jesus is teaching about us. Do you think everything in your life is by chance? Jesus says this, without a great design of mine. Okay, God has a great design for each and every one of us. And what he wants us to know is when we surrender to him, he says this to Luisa, I'm going to make of my children my divine masterpieces. Each one of us is going to become God's divine masterpiece. We haven't seen anything yet. When this new era comes, when we are freed, when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, the devil who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. And at that point, what God is going to do is it's going to astonish us of how much he loves us, that he has allowed us to be alive at this time. He predestined us to live at this time. He says, the number 40 has always been significant and preparatory to great works. For 40 years, the Jews walked in the desert without being able to reach the promised land, their fatherland. After 40 years of sacrifice, they had the good of taking possession of it. But how many miracles, how many graces to the point of nourishing them with celestial manna during that time? Prolonged sacrifice has a virtue, a strength to obtain great things from God. I myself, during my life down here, wanted to remain in the desert for 40 days, all away from all, even from my mother, to then go out in public to announce the gospel that was to form the life of my church. That is the kingdom of redemption. For 40 years, I wanted to remain risen to confirm my resurrection and to place the seal upon all the goods of redemption. So I, God, wanted you, my daughter, in order to manifest the kingdom of my divine will. I, God, wanted 40 years of sacrifices. But how many graces have I not given you? How many manifestations have I not given you? How many truths? How many promises? How many lessons? Jesus is just so great. I can say that in this great length of time, I placed in you all the capital of the kingdom, all the gold, all the silver is in you, Louisa, of the kingdom. All the capital is in you, Louisa. Everything that of the kingdom of God is going to be found in you, Louisa. Holy cow, who's this Louisa? He says, and everything that is necessary in order to make the creatures comprehend it. So as we read, as we study, as we put into practice these promises that Jesus gives to Louisa, these manifestations that Jesus gives to Louisa, these knowledges that Jesus gives to Louisa, these secrets, these treasures, this great gift of the divine will, he says, we're going to comprehend it. We're going to comprehend this. It might seem far away at this point, but as you read, everything begins to be put in order. Always in the act of imprisonment, everything that is necessary in order to make the creatures comprehend it. So your long imprisonment has been the continual weapon, always in the act of fighting with your very creator to have you manifest to you, Louisa, my kingdom. So this fight that's been going on, this is why when you read Louisa, she goes, Jesus, come back to me. You are my life. Without Jesus, Louisa couldn't breathe. Without Jesus, Louisa's heart couldn't beat. Without Jesus, she had no life in her. Why? Because what God has given to her is the new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II talks about. And without Jesus being present, she says, I don't feel alive. I don't feel anything. I feel as if I'm dead. Jesus, come back, come back. And this is what he says. Always in active fighting with your very creator to have you manifest my kingdom, to have Jesus manifest the kingdom. So her job now is to inhale this divine I love you, which she put down on paper, so that she breathes this out. And when we read this, we're doing the same thing. We're breathing in what Jesus told Louisa and then breathing it out. It's not human. That's the thing. Because Jesus says, I don't want human love. I want divine love. And I'm the one, he says, and my mother, the one, the new Adam and the new Eve that can breathe this divine, I love you. When we breathe it in, it's his I love you that's in us. And then he says, give it back to me. You have nothing, but you have everything. Give it back to me. So when we breathe this divine, I love you back to him, God says he goes into ecstasy because he sees us as another Jesus, another Mary, breathing this back to God. So what's happening is, again, as you enter into this, now I've heard some people say, well, I do divine acts. No, you don't. You can't do a divine act. You're human. Jesus in us does it. Mary in us does it. The new Adam and the new Eve. This is what's so glorious. Your whole prayer life changes. When you learn to pray the rounds, the round of creation, the round of redemption, when you learn how to do this, what happens at that point is it's a new beginning for humanity. It's a new beginning for us. That's why every day when you read, it's like an ecstasy. It's so beautiful. It's so amazing what our God is teaching us. And so he says this, he says very clearly, your long imprisonment, 40 years, has been a continual weapon, always in the act of fighting with your creator. Why? To have you, Louisa, manifest the kingdom. He breathed this in. And Louisa says today in the writing, she says, I get very tired writing. I get very tired writing. She goes to the point that she goes, I'm only writing because out of obedience. When I see the word writing for Louisa, I see the word reading for us. A lot of us get tired reading. Okay. I got to read some more. And the thing about it is that's so beautiful is Jesus is speaking. And even though you haven't, you might be tired. What happens at that point is you want to read the next day. You want to, you get to that point where Louisa says, I can't live without the divine will. I can't live without you, Jesus. And that's what he's doing. So he says, you must know that everything I, God, have manifested to your soul. These are the truths. These are the knowledges. These are the promises. These are the secrets. These are the lessons that I've manifested to you. The graces that I, God, have given you, Louisa, the many truths you have written on my divine will, your pains and everything you have done have been nothing but a gathering of the materials in order to build. And now it is necessary in order to order them and to get everything settled. So what's happening at this point is St. Honorable de Francia has said basically to Louisa at this point, give me your writings, I'm going to publish them. And he put the Nihil Obstat on, and he got the Archbishop May to put the Imprimatur on. He says very, very clearly, and that's getting everything settled. Everything is now going to begin. This is 1928. He died before that. He died in October of 28. Okay. So pause here for a minute. And just as I did not leave you alone in gathering the necessary things that must serve my kingdom, but I have been always with you, so shall I not leave you alone in putting them in order and showing the great building that I have been preparing together with you for so many years. Okay, therefore, our sacrifice and work is not finished. We must go forward until the work is accomplished. So St. Honorable de Francia had said to his people, basically, we want this, everything written now. Everything's going to be published. He's got everything ready. He put the Nihil Obstat on 1 through 19 and the Imprimatur, and that's in the books, that's on the books. And they were waiting for St. Annibal to lead the charge. And then he died. And at that point, they were fighting. Louisa says, bring these books back. And they go, no, we got to keep them here in Messina. And bring them back. They're fighting back and forth because her spiritual director said to her, the writings must come back here, her new spiritual director. So what happened, this battle went on, and finally the books came back, and it was like in 1938, some priest did not like her and they went against her. And Louisa says, I'm so sorry, Lord, that they're doing this to me. And Jesus says, they're not doing it to you, Louisa. They're doing it to me. And that's a whole other story. But what happened after that point is we waited until Archbishop Cassati started the cause in 1994. And I was there at the opening, and I'll tell you, he got up there and he looked around and he says, there's more of you here than Corrado. You love Louisa more than the people of Corrado love Louisa. He goes, why are you here? What's going on? And we had a taste of it. We had a taste of the divine will for a few years. We had no books. There were no books written at that point. And what happened at what we were reading and studying, basically sheets of paper. We had a few books, but not really well translated. And so that was a great time. Oh, that was so much fun to be at the opening of the cause. And even the end of the cause, the end of the cause was, it was so beautiful to see all the writings of Louisa wrapped up with a big red bow on them and being presented to the Vatican. And the Archbishop at that time, Piccieri, said, we believe Louisa should be canonized. And everybody's in the place going, yes. I mean, great things are coming. Great things. We haven't seen anything yet. And don't be surprised when amazing things start to happen. And they're going to start to happen soon because the kingdom is coming. And as Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. The new era, the new epoch is coming. It's a new beginning for humanity. This is so, so beautiful. Okay, so Jesus says this. He says, the many truths, the divine will, your pains, everything with gathering the materials in order to build, and now it's necessary to set everything settled. Just as I did not leave you alone in gathering the necessary things that must serve my kingdom, but I have always been with you. See, this is the other thing too. You're going to experience God in a way that you've never experienced God before. He's always been with us. He's not 1,000 miles away. He's right with us. And in the divine will, when you make your heart his throne, I mean, we've done that with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. When you enter into this life, you really begin to recognize that God is with us. God is with us, each and every one of us. He's not 1,000 miles away. And he says this, I have been always with you. So shall I not leave you alone in putting them in order and showing you the great building that I have prepared. I have been preparing together with you for so many years. So here she's in the, again, think about this, this building that St. Annibal de Francia built for Louisa, where her room was opposite the chapel. Her room now, they expanded the chapel, took the wall down between her room and the chapel. The room that she lived in, where her bed is, where her bed was now where the tabernacle is. She would look out the doors going down the hall of the chapel to the tabernacle to adore God. This is what she did for the last 10 years of her life. Well, not the last 10 years that she was writing. But now we look at what the tabernacle where her head was. It's just so many things. He says, the order and showing you the great building that I have been preparing together with you for so many years. Therefore, our sacrifice and work is not finished. We must go forward until the work is accomplished. This is what Jesus is going to ask us to do with Louisa to accomplish this work. Okay, it's going to be done. And Jesus says, if I don't use you, I'll find somebody else to use. We're saying, Lord, you've given us the divine will. Let it be done as you wish. So it's that surrender, it's that docility, it's that submission to God that Jesus is teaching us in the divine will. He's asking us to let go of the things of earth and begin to embrace the things of heaven. Let go of all that the earthly desires and enter into divine desires. And he says, even in holy things, this is what I'm asking. So what the Lord is saying is he's asking us to enter into a holy indifference to everything and everyone, so that who is the one that's in charge is Jesus alone. And he said to Louisa, I think it was Sunday's readings, he said, he says he wants us to focus on him and him alone, on nothing but him. Our life is going to be one with Jesus, one with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve on earth as it is in heaven. That's what's coming. It's a glorious time. And we'll end here. But great things are happening. Don't look at the doom and gloomers. Know that the kingdom is coming. And Jesus has given us the book, the way and the how the kingdom is coming. As we read this, It doesn't matter what's happening out there. What we know is what God is doing and what God has planned, as he said to Louisa. So I end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that all the little children in the holy divine will become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.